Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look through the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
You would have thought by now, by this point, 3.5 years into the tribulation, that people would have cried out to God for mercy. All these things are taking place. But it's interesting to me to see that even through all that, the people will still do not repent. It was in Revelation, I should have marked this. Where did I have it marked? Oh, Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, it's talking about the first half of the tribulation, yet repented not of their works of the hands. They still wouldn't repent. Isn't that amazing? And then Revelation 16:9, when the great tribulation is taking place, you would think men would come to their senses and fall on their face and repent. But in Revelation 16, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. And by the way, I've said this over and over and again. This is the judgment of God. It's not the judgment of Russia or America. It's not a nuclear warfare. A lot of people think it's a nuclear bomb just scattering everywhere. No, this is God's judgment on God's people on this earth. That's why men would be blaspheming God. They're not blaming Russia. They're not blaming America. Whatever you think's going on, this is God's doing this, and they know that. So they blaspheme God. But the amazing thing to me is they still don't repent of their sins and evil. Well, verse number 2. We see in verse number 1 and 2 the marvelous sign. Verse number 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, of course, we know what this is for, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. By the way, I'm going to mention in my message this morning, do you know God loves singing? He loves to hear his people sing. In the book of Zechariah, chapter number 3, I think it's verse 11. It's in my sermon, my notes today. It's the only place where it talks about God sings. Only place in Scripture it talks about God singing. Well, God loves singing. And here are these folk. These are people who died during the tribulation period, because it talks about the mark of the beast and all these things. In verse number 3, they sing the song of Moses. Now, this is where I ended last week. I gave you a homework assignment. The song of Moses is found in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Is a song of Moses. Matter of fact, Moses sung two songs that's recorded in Scripture. The first song that was ever recorded in Scripture, we find Moses singing it. Remember when they crossed over, the Egyptian army was following them. There's the Red Sea, you know. It was the Red Sea, wasn't it? Yeah. The Red Sea, and they were surrounded, and God led them across safely, and the Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. By the way, I took that very literal too. I believe God's word. Some of these people who are making fun of Scripture say that, well, that the Red Sea, they crossed over a marshy place or whatever. It wasn't very, you know, even if that was so, it's amazing he can drown the whole army in ankle deep water. I believe God. I believe a whale swallowed Jonah. What the Bible said? If the Bible said Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd believe it. I just believe God. Okay? Well, Moses sung that song when they crossed over, and then Miriam sung a song right after that. You remember the first song's recorded. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 32, hold your place here. I got a few minutes. Turn me to Deuteronomy 32. This is important because it mentions the song of Moses. And the song of Moses talks about not just deliverance, but revenge. And he closes out. By the way, this is at the end of Moses' ministry. It's interesting when you read the book of Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy 6, in Exodus 15, when he crosses over, he sung a song. And now at the end of his life, he sings this song. Let's begin in verse number 39. the song of Moses. This is the end of the song, chapter 32. Most of it is his song. Verse number 39, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any other that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold of judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. And that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And look in verse number 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of the song in the ears of the people, he and Joshua, the son of Nun. And then look in verse number 49. The Lord has spoken unto Moses, now get thee into this mountain, into Mount Nebo. We're at the end of Moses' life. You know, God was the only one who attended Moses' funeral. I was wondering that this is at the end of Moses' life. And interesting, the last song that he sung, the last words, was about God's vengeance upon people. And he was avenging his servants. Remember earlier in the book of the Revelation, it talked about that people were crying, the martyrs, how long, O Lord, will thou be till you avenge what's going on here in the tribulation period? Well, this is why the Song of Moses is so important, because it's fixing to happen, folks. So they're singing that song of Moses, the servant, and it's also the song of the Lamb. I love that. Boy, so many things I could say here, and I got to move on. The song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. There's so much in here, and I got to move on. I talked with somebody just a couple days ago. And they said, preacher, we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but how can you show from Scripture that Jesus Christ is God, very God? I said, man, all kinds of verses talk about Jesus Christ being God, very God. And we're right here in this verse, it talks about him. But I took them to Hebrews chapter number 1, again reminding them, and they're in this church. Listen up, I don't have to tell you again. Do y'all listen to me sometimes? Y'all just tune me out. One of the greatest passages of scriptures that declares that Jesus is God is found in Hebrews chapter 1. There's many of them. Isaiah, thou shalt call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's numerous ones, but one that can convince anybody that would even consider this matter about Jesus being God, very God, is Hebrews chapter number 1. Hold your place and turn me to Hebrews chapter number 1. This ain't in my outline, but you need this. So you folk won't ask me again. You'll have it. Okay. Well, let me go ask my preacher. Well, you need to know some things, okay? Hebrews chapter number 1. Again, it begins, God, who at sundry times in diverse manner spake in times past unto his fathers by the prophets, we know about, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Who is his Son? Jesus. It speaks to God the Father and the Son. Now, time won't allow. Let's move on. Verse number 5. To which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son? Of course, oh, he only has one, that's Jesus. This day I've begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Obviously, it's talking about the Father and Jesus. Are you following? No debate there.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Saturday, July 2nd, at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church to hear the Mark Trammell Quartet live in concert. That's July 2nd, this Saturday, at 6 p.m. Mark Trammell Quartet is going to bless us with some wonderful gospel music, and we hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.